The border town of Stanstead, Quebec, is home to many dual citizens of Canada and the U.S., simply because many of them were born in a hospital on the American side. But recent changes to U.S. tax law mean this year's tax season is more complicated and, in some cases, more expensive than usual for dual citizens.
I'm a little insulted about the cost of it. What hurts me a little bit, too, is that the federal government on this side hasn't did nothing to protect us.
That's Stanstead resident and dual citizen Philippe Dutille, who also happens to be the town's mayor. Dutille is expressing his frustration with some of the new steps he's having to take this year filing his taxes. He's not alone. Our township's reporter Allison Burnett's been talking to people in Stanstead, and she's live in our Sherbrooke studio right now. Good morning.
Good morning, Susan.
So tell us first what this new law says.
Well, it's called the FATCA, or the Foreign Accounts Tax Compliance Act. It was implemented as a way to stop tax evasion of U.S. citizens. And as of this month, all U.S. citizens, including those living here in Canada, have to start reporting their foreign accounts and their offshore accounts along with their income tax. The problem is that many Canadian citizens who happen to have been born on the U.S. side, but who've never lived or worked in the U.S., will now have to start providing the United States government with all kinds of their financial information. And Philippe Dutille gave me an idea of what that means.
You have to declare your bank accounts, your high and your low from your bank accounts for 6 years and behind. Anything, your all your investments, your RSPs, your CELI, because the CELI is a tax-free account over here, but in the States it's not.
Dutille says he's never filed income tax in the United States because he's never worked there, so he knows he's never owed money there in the past. But this year he will have to start filing income tax and provide that information for the past 3 years and also provide that financial information.
So is it just a question of filling out more forms and providing more information than they have in the past?
Well, that certainly is an added requirement, but it's also an added expense for just about everyone involved.
And we know it costs about between $1,200 and $1,300 to get. That's for a regular person to get their papers done. That's your FBAR, what they call the FBAR, and your income tax for 3 years and the FBAR for six. Then to keep on doing it every year, it's about $350 a year. So a lot of people find it very expensive. You know, when you're used to getting your tax for $25, $30, $40, $50 done, well, people just don't have the money. $40, $50, I'm talking about the Canadian side. But once you do the other papers, it's, like I say, it's over $1,000. So it scares people. And depends what you have, too. I mean, people who has farm and this and that, because the law is not the same over here than over there.
So business owners, people with a lot of assets or a lot of money may have to end up paying quite a lot of income tax to the U.S. And that's not all. There are also some serious implications for dual citizens if they own a home or a property in Canada and then decide to sell. So even someone's primary residence, which here in Canada wouldn't be subject to capital gains tax, would be subject to capital gains tax for U.S. tax purposes, even if that home is not in the U.S. and never have lived or worked there or even owned property there. So if the money they make on selling their house is more than $250,000, they would have to pay tax on that to the U.S.
So how are people reacting?
Well, many of the people I've been speaking with are angry because the Canadian government approved this. It was part of Bill C-31, which was voted in last year. And the way the government did that was by signing an intergovernmental agreement with the United States, which requires Canadian banks to provide banking information to, of U.S. citizens. And in some cases, it's just Canadians who have spent a lot of time in the United States. But many of the people I spoke with in Stanstead are also frustrated and confused because many of them don't have information about these new rules. They have no idea what's required of them. And they say they haven't been able to get the information. And Susan, I have to tell you, I didn't have to go very far to find a dual citizen in Stanstead or someone who was born in the United States. I went to the Pat Burns Arena, and one of the first people I spoke with there was manager Marc Parent.
I was born in Vermont, but always lived in Canada, so I would be considered a dual citizen. I have a U.S. passport and a Canadian passport, so when I go into the U.S., I present my U.S. passport, and when I come back to Canada, I present my Canadian passport. I'd heard rumbles in the last few weeks of people talking about it, but I had never really stopped and studied what exactly it meant. So I guess I'll have to start doing some research to see if it applies to me or not.
Marc Parent's reaction is one I heard a few times. People who, as they say, have been born on the U.S. side, but they're just not sure if these new rules apply to them. Now, the mayor, Philippe Dussel, says he reckons between 20 and 30% of people in Stansted are dual citizens and subject to these new laws. And that's only because back in the 50s and 60s, the closest hospital was in Newport, Vermont. And Dussel says he's been trying to tell many people in town he knows who are dual citizens that they should start looking into these new requirements. And he says while he's been getting a lot of phone calls from people on the one hand who have been trying to get more information, he says many of the people he approaches get quite angry with him because this just isn't something they think should apply to them and it's not something they want to think about. And it's not just people in Stansted, I should mention, who are affected by this. One organization I spoke with estimates that there are approximately 1 million people in Canada affected by this law.
And one would presume that elsewhere in Canada as well, there are a lot of people who just don't know about it, don't know enough about it. And I guess there's a danger that if you don't know about it and you don't file, are there penalties involved if you don't actually comply?
Well, there are certain fees that that could come into effect, but also you have to remember that banks, people, Canadians with dual citizenship who hold accounts in Canada, the banking system itself is going to provide that information. So there definitely is a threat of certain fees, which depending on how much you owe could be quite hefty.
So what can a dual citizen do about this? Can you just renounce your dual citizenship?
Well, that is an option, but it's not as simple as just turning in one of your passports. John Richardson is the co-founder of the Alliance for the Defense of Canadian Sovereignty. That's a nonprofit organization which is helping people in this situation. He says there are punitive exit taxes involved in renouncing U.S. citizenship unless people go back and do 5 years of tax filing. And he says a majority of people won't owe tax to the United States, but some will. He says, you know, people who are, for example, business owners, people with a lot of money and assets, they're the ones who are going to be hit by this.
I mean, it could be close to bankrupting in terms of you know, what the composition actually is. Secondly, okay, to renounce, they've got to pay the tax compliance fees on this, which, I mean, you know, I help people do this, and, you know, for a lot of people, I mean, it's relative, well, it's never low to them, okay, but it's relatively low, you know, maybe under $10,000. But there is a group of people out there where, you know, the tax compliance cost can be in the six-figure range in order to do this, and then, I mean, you do have to pay a $2,350 fee to the U.S. government just to be able to renounce.
John Richardson says the Alliance for the Defense of Canadian Sovereignty has filed a lawsuit against the Canadian government for signing the intergovernmental agreement with the United States. It's not a class action suit. There are two specific plaintiffs involved. But if it is successful, and Richardson believes it will be, it could set a precedent. And I just want to add as well, Susan, he mentions there that there's the exit tax of $2,350. Mm-hmm. That amount went up significantly just as of September. It was only about $300 as of September. And then right before this new law went into effect this spring, it sort of quadrupled. It
suddenly became more expensive. What does the federal government say about this claim people have that their rights weren't protected properly and about the lawsuit?
Well, without an agreement in place, what the federal government says is that it would have been obliged to comply with FATCA with this new law, and that it says it would have been unilaterally and automatically imposed on Canadian financial institutions and their clients as of July 1st, 2014. So the government says basically it was to everyone's advantage that it did sign this agreement because it says under the agreement, financial institutions in Canada will not have to report any information directly to the IRS. The way it's going to happen instead is that account information held by U.S. residents and U.S. citizens will be reported to the Canadian Revenue Agency, and then the Canadian Revenue Agency will, in exchange, report that information to the IRS through existing provisions and safeguards, which the government says is consistent with Canada's privacy laws. And the government says that it was also able to get significant exemptions and relief from reporting certain accounts, for example.
Okay. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the full extent of people's financial information.
No,
but it does sound like there might be some cherry picking involved.
That's right. And I think people, one of the things John Richardson pointed out is he says, well, you know, now people are sort of running a little scared, thinking they've got to report everything, mm-hmm. When in fact it may not be quite what they think. And he says, you know, if you think you might be in this situation or you have a connection with the United States, the first thing is really to establish if you have citizenship or not. And even that is quite complicated.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the bottom line in all of this is inform, get informed, ask the questions, find the people who can give you the answers so that you can know what you should be reporting if you should be reporting.
That's right.
That's interesting. Thank you very much, Allison.
My pleasure, Susan.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Allison Burnett, our reporter in the Eastern Townships, live in our Sherbrooke studio. We'd love to hear from you. If you're in this situation and not just in Stansted, we've got dual citizens elsewhere. Love to hear from you. Have you already made your inquiries? Do you know what your position is, what you have to file if you have to file, and how do you feel about it? How do you feel about this new law requiring you to provide more information this time out on your tax return as a dual citizen? You can get in touch with us through our Facebook page, facebook.com/CBC Quebec AM. You can message us there, or you can message us via email, quebecam@cbc.ca, or just give us a call toll free from anywhere in the province. 1-888-691-3476 is the Quebec AM talkback line. 1-888-691-3476. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from, and tell us what you think about these changes to tax law for dual citizens here in Canada.